Hello. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. It's 3 o'clock, so let's get started. First of all, I want to welcome you to my session, and I want to show you my mission for today, for this presentation, for now, is IT operations for a good night's sleep. That's something what we all want and something that we're trying to get, but doesn't always happen, so hopefully with this session I will give you some handles, some things, some thoughts to actually get you there and make it able to run a big, huge IT operations with a lot of uptime and with not a lot of problems and a good night's sleep. So what will the agenda be for today? First I want to show you what getting no sleep will look like. So I'm really glad that you did not take any pillows with you to get your sleep here. So that's very nice. One of the slides I will tell you about what no sleep will look like. The next step I want to make is how to get from object monitoring to line of business application monitoring. Not just seeing that a service is not working, but the relation within your applications to make them visible. The next step we're going to make after that is within Operation Manager to go from reactive to proactive monitoring. What do you need to have in place for that? And it's not only technology, I can tell you now. The following step in the presentation will be about Service Manager, how to get all the information in there and do some analysis to make sure your workloads are planned as you would require, so you're not running behind incidents all day and know which resources you need to attend to actually fix problems in your environment. So we're going to do that with Microsoft Excel and Power Pivot, getting data out of the Operation Manager database, and I will show you that in a demo. Last but not least, I'm going to show you how the top one incident that we found using Microsoft Excel and Power Pivot from the database to automate that with Orchestrator. So your incident that's occurring a lot in your infrastructure will be fixed automatically. So that will be the agenda for today and for this session. Now the goals and objectives, the goals and objectives for my session are you have to stop following the incidents. One thing we see a lot at customer sites is that IT operations is just running behind incidents. End user calls, we have a problem, 3-4 guys starting to work on that problem, and when it's fixed, there's something new and more important. And that's not the way to work an operation. So you need to register and analyze. You need to know what you guys are doing, what you are doing, what you're doing over and over again. And that's really important because that's the point that will help you improve your operations. So you need to describe your tasks, because when an incident comes in and you have a problem in one of your line of business applications, you start fixing that, and the one guy that knows everything about the application has fixed it, and you're going back to your daily stuff. Next time the problem comes in, the same IT guy has to go over there. He knows everything about that single application, and he will fix it again. And every time it will happen over and over and over and over again. Always the same person who knows how it works and how to solve it within maybe a few hours. So that's pretty okay, but you don't want him to always fix that problem because he can do a lot of more stuff. He can try to improve the line of business application, but he doesn't have time for that. So that's where they describe the tasks over and over again. Every time the incident happens, the first time you have to register it. You know what happened, you have fixed it, you have to write it down. Now the second time, it's already written down, so somebody else in your organization needs to fix the problem according to the manual. When that's in place, and it's a good manual, you can put it down to a first-tier person or a second-tier person to use the manual and actually fix the problem again. So if the fourth time the problem happens again, you can start automating it because you completely described what your problem is, what needs to be done technically to fix it, so you know step by step by step what the problem is. And then you can go into a tool like Orchestrator to automate it and make sure the problem doesn't get fixed in a few hours or a few days, but in a few seconds. So, and that's the power of registering and describing the things you do when you're running your operation. And last but not least, you need to make it part of your DNA. When your company is not investing in time and money for you guys to actually learn new tools, know how to automate that kind of stuff and have time to actually write it down what happened to fix that problem, it will never get done. So that's what we're gonna, that's what we'll be trying to tell you in this session. But first of all, I want to like to introduce myself. My name is Walter Eikenboom. I'm not from the US, I'm from the Netherlands. And I work for a company called Innovatief. We are a consulting firm in the Netherlands. And we mainly focus at deploying Hyper-V and System Center for data centers and private clouds. So it's quite a busy time these days with all the leverage we have on the System Center side. And we work very closely with Microsoft on getting the best out of all the tooling. And we not only focus on the technology, we also have a look at the processes and how the people need to be trained. So we also provide training and we do the analysis of the processes that are in place and need to be aligned with the technology. And that's one of my main focus areas. So what is getting no sleep look like? Every incident is really important. When someone calls, the application is down, everybody starts running. It's always the first priority incident, and nobody is actually looking at how many people are affected, how big is the impact, is it really downtime, or is it just a small thing? So that's something we see a lot at smaller companies that are not really mature in their IT operations. So something we hear a lot at that kind of companies is that they need to clone their IT admins. The guys that really know a lot, they're the top administrators that are in the IT, they want to, when I have two of those guys, everything will be fixed. And that's of course not true, because there will be more innovation, there will be more testing, there will be more new stuff, and the same guy needs to fix it all over again. So that's something you hear a lot. So that's not the answer to the solution, to getting more people inside your IT organization. You have to transfer knowledge as one of the things, and you need to start automating. And automating is not always the solution to a problem, but it can help you. When you have a line of business application and you have a release cycle of, for instance, 3 months, and there's something wrong within that application, but you're not going to release within the next couple of weeks. So you can fix the problem by using automation until the new release is there. So it can be a temporary solution to just meet your SLAs that you agreed on with your business. So you have to have general understanding on more than just the technology stuff when using products like System Center. And Microsoft has created a model for the IT maturity of your IT organization. It's called the Core I/O model. How many of you have ever seen or used the Core I/O model that Microsoft has created a few years ago? Oh, not a lot. Okay. There has been a session on MMS by Eduardo Kastner about Core I/O, and it's a really interesting one. There are a lot of analysis of other IT organizations and how they do their stuff and how mature they are. So what did they invest in and what don't they have at this point and how are they running their operation? So that's pretty cool. And you can do your own analysis online with a few tools there. So I think you have to look that up because that's really, really interesting and it will really give you a good insight on how you can progress your operation. So it's got a few pillars on how mature your IT organization is. And on the left-hand side, there's the basic. That's the point where you're just running around incidents. You're not doing backup checks. You don't have anti-malware protection. And you're not actually looking what's happening. You're just running with a whole bunch of IT guys. Now, when you go and look to the next phase, it's standardized. You have a few standardized images. You know how to deploy your stuff. You have your patches and updates in place, but your backups are automated, but you're not checking your backups if you can actually restore them. So on every level, you can make an additional step on maturing. So in the Core I/O model, they're all kind of description how to use technology to actually mature a specific level, like for deployment, always installing from the CD or just cloning a template and run a VM. It will save you time. And you will always find the same stuff on the same place. That's a big problem as well. When you have to fix a problem, you go into a VM, and you first have to find out where did they install it this time, or where I can find it now. That's a big problem. So if you have a standardized images that you're deploying, you can actually help yourself and your colleagues to know where the stuff is. So the core AI model, it's pretty important. When you look at the dynamic side, that's a bit the private cloud infrastructure with chargeback and billing on top of that. That's what I think. There are a lot of definitions what cloud is and what private cloud is and public cloud and stuff like that. But in my opinion, the private cloud that you have on-prem is a dynamic core I/O model with chargeback and billing in place. So when you have a look at that model, you can find a lot of guides to mature with the technology to get at that level. And it's not always the perfect level for every organization, but you need to have a look at that. One of the other things you need to be aware of that it exists is the Microsoft Operating Framework. Are you familiar? How many of you are familiar with the Microsoft Operating Framework or have seen it before? A few more hands. Okay. Microsoft Operating Framework is a documentation set that's role-based for an IT organization to know which role needs which input and needs to produce which output. So it's a really easy guideline on how your people should do their works, what they need to actually fulfill their tasks, their daily tasks. So it's based on ITIL, and it's not exactly the same as ITIL, but it's a derivative of ITIL. So it's some guidance for the process within IT operations, within the operations framework. So I want to dive into service monitoring and control. That's one of the parts within the operation framework. And the service monitoring and control part, that's where you're actually getting your alerts. You need to handle them. You need to put them in an incident process. You need to analyze them, and you need to fix them to gain your service levels, because that's the one important thing you have agreed on with your business. So this is the part that will help you to mature your operations, your daily incident process, and your registration of that stuff. And you need to enable your IT admins. That's very important. Because processes, and one of the things we see a lot, a change process or an incident process, 9 out of 10 times is more discouraging on helping an operation than it is to actually help it. And it needs to be something that will help people get the environment stay in a stable condition and keep it in a stable condition. So when something went wrong and you need to fix it, and first you have to fill out a lot of paperwork and get 17 or 18 signatures before you can actually do something, that's not helping you. So you need to have a look at these kind of processes, because they need to help IT admins, and they're not there to block you or to discourage you to do stuff. So that's something that's really important. So, and you need to make some time for your IT admins to learn new tools, and that's why I think most of you are here. But after a week like this, you're just back in the normal operation, and you're just doing your job, and you know you don't have an afternoon or a day or two, a day or three, to actually try it in your environment, what you have seen, what you've learned. So that's important. That's where the investments need to be when you come back from an event like TechEd. So I want to do a quick, short tour on how System Center 2012 SP1, what the capabilities are, and which products are in there. I'm not going to cover all of them in this session, but I'm going to shortly explain how on the left side an application owner has a specific demand, and on the right side you have a data center admin that's running the backend infrastructure in the data center, making sure everything works and everything is fulfilling its task. So the application owner, he or she, in this case, she just wants control. She wants to know, is it up and running? Is it working? And I want, when I want to add a user, I want it to be done now. Not on Friday morning that's scheduled, create users for this application, because that's one of our IT admin tasks. She just wants it now, because somebody is new in the organization. He's starting today, and he wants to start working this afternoon or tomorrow. So you don't want to wait until Friday. So you want to give them a service portal. And the application owner, he has in the System Center 2012 suite, the ability for App Controller and Service Manager to provide self-service requests. So App Controller gives you a good insight on your running virtual machines and your service template that you have deployed in your environment within a specific cloud. And the Service Manager self-service portal gives you the ability to perform self-service tasks. Now, the power of the self-service portal of Service Manager is that it isn't a complex portal. A few years ago, when you want to make a web portal with self-service requests, you need to have a few developers creating all kinds of forms and creating an API to some products. And it was a lot of work and a lot of maintenance. And when just one field has changed, everything has to be rewritten or changed again. Now, the power of this portal within Service Manager is that a service owner can just create a service template, and it will be automatically published on the self-service portal. So that's a Silverlight widget, and that Silverlight widget will get its data from Service Manager that you just have implemented, like an incident or like a change. It will be published there, and you just fill out the form, and it will be executed. And that doesn't mean that it will be automatically executed right away. You can use the process in Service Manager to actually control that self-service request. So you can build in approvals, and you can actually build in automation. So when a new user is requested, you fill out the form with name, last name, function, job title, and permissions. It goes into Service Manager. One of the managers gets an email saying, okay, I approve of the creation of this account. And in the backend, Orchestrator will automatically run a few PowerShell scripts or a few tasks, and it will create the user account. Final task, just email the application owner that it's happened and done, and he can log on. So that's really fast and really powerful. And you just have to create that book, runbook once, and that process once, and you can use it over and over again. So going to the middle tier, there is where we have Orchestrator and Service Manager. Yeah, they work pretty good together. So you can connect Service Manager and Orchestrator together. So when you have created a runbook, and that runbook can fulfill a specific task, you hook it up to Service Manager, and when someone created a change, you can use that task, and it will be automatically fulfilled. Now, we are moving over to the right side, and on the right side, we see the data center admin, and there he has his virtual machine manager to managing his hypervisors and his virtual machines running on top of that. The fabric, the compute and the storage. Of course, operation manager that I will show you in a few minutes to monitor the operation, to see how heavily the load on the different VMs is and on the different hypervisors is. Configuration manager, of course, for patching and updates. And last but not least, data protection manager. Because when you're running a line of business application, you want to make sure when something happens, you can restore it and you can go back to a certain point in time. That's where DPM is for. Okay, one thing you need to be aware of as well is service level agreements, service level management. And that sounds like a lot of paperwork. It sounds like a lot of paperwork, but it's more than that. When you have a look at the SLA, you are making an understanding with your business. So you're promising your end users, your business users, that you will have a specific uptime for a specific application. And that's normal. They're paying you a lot of money or a bunch of money every year to make sure that application will be up for 99%. Nothing strange there. So if you want to make sure you can actually check if that's true, you need to have service level objectives. The service level objectives are the measures and the points you can actually monitor to see in the end of the year if you actually met the service level agreement. So the first thing you do after agreeing on a service level agreement, you're creating service level objects, because that's what you're going to put in monitoring. So your application is in monitoring, then you need to have in place operation level agreements. Because when an incident comes in, something has happened in your environment, you need to know how fast you have to respond. Because when it happens at 6 o'clock, everybody's at home. Next morning you come in, it's 9 o'clock. Okay, we have a problem in our main line of business application. That application is earning 10,000 bucks an hour, and it's been down for the whole night. So you lost a huge amount of money, and that's not why you have the service level agreements in place. So you need to have an understanding on what the operational level agreement is and how fast people need to respond on specific tasks. And the last, and that's one that's been forgotten a lot, the underpinning contracts. Things we have seen at customer sites is that they have agreed on a service level agreement to their end users, and they have a single box, a physical box standing in the data center, and they're running that single one application with a strange token on the back, and they have an agreement with HP or Dell to replace hard disks. So it actually crashes, and they can afford a downtime of 4 hours. So their operational level agreement, when an incident comes in, they need to run, and within 2 hours it needs to be fixed because they have to do a check, and within four hours it needs to be up and running again. And then they call Dell or HP, and they say, my hard disk has broke down, please bring me a new one. Oh, that's okay, tomorrow morning you're the first to get the hard disk. And that's not in line with the service level agreement. So you need to be aware of that. If you have an understanding on your SLA, you need to have all these layers in place. So now I want to give you a quick introduction into Operation Manager and show you how to build, create a line of business application in there to make the relations available. No, I'm not going into the demo now. Sorry for that. First, I want to tell you a little bit about Operation Manager. How many of you are using Operation Manager in their infrastructure at this point? Ah, that's good. That's a lot of hands. That's nice. Okay. Are you all running 2012? Okay. Okay. Oh, that's a little bit. Okay. System Center Operation Manager 2012. It's got a new architecture, and in the 2007 version, there was a root management server that was the single critical point within that complete infrastructure. In 2012, SP1, they fixed that problem, and they create resource pools in clustered servers, in management servers. So when you're deploying an operation manager environment, you will have a few management servers, and you will pool them as a resource together for instance, operating system monitoring. On the other side, you also want to use network monitoring, and you're creating a resource pool for that as well. And that's even the best practice, because when you're going to use agent monitoring and network monitoring together, you will get strange errors. So if you're going into a network monitoring, you actually have to split those two resource pools. So what's the power of this infrastructure? If one of the management servers goes down, the other one just will take over. And it's just commodity hardware, nothing strange. Everything's supported on a virtual platform, so if you have enough memory, enough CPUs, and you've got normal storage, underneath there you can just scale up with a virtual machine, put it in the resource group, and it will start monitoring, and it will balance the load of the infrastructure. Now, there's one single database that's Operation Manager database. That's a short-term database with all the configuration data. And there's a long-term Operation Manager data warehouse. And in the data warehouse, there's the long-term information. And by default, that's information for over a year. Now, with that information, you can do some trending and analysis. And you can see how many incidents have taken place in the last year on a specific server or instance. Okay, what's new in the SP1 version? First, what we do is we start with infrastructure monitoring. I already told you that it's just object monitoring, one switch, one server, one operating system, one IIS, and there's not really a relation there. Now, the next thing you're going to do when you're going to implement Operation Manager, you're going to have a look at application monitoring. You want to know how your AD is performing. Maybe you have some .NET applications that are running, so you can use application performance monitoring. And last but not least, you want to know the end user experience. And that's something that a lot of companies are not using at this moment. So that's really powerful. And I will show you in a short example how to monitor one of your internal websites using Operation Manager. Excuse me. Everybody's awake again. Okay, nice. So what the new SP1 version is giving you, it's giving you a consistent end-user experience monitoring and give you a line of business application monitoring that was already available in the 2007 version in a less of more way. So what's really new, there are more synthetic transactions. There is the DevOps integration, so you can have an outside-in perspective on your .NET applications, and I will show you a little bit about that in a second. You can monitor WCF services with .NET monitoring, and there are a few options for cloud monitoring now. So System Center Advisor has been integrated with Operation Manager, and you have the ability to monitor Azure, and you have the ability to monitor your website from Azure nodes outside in. We call that a global service monitor. So application performance monitoring, what does it do? It's a lightweight profiler, and it will look into your .NET application to see what's actually happening there. And a lot of times when you're monitoring an application, you're just looking at IIS. Is the service running? Is it available? Yes. Okay, that's good. But you want to know more. When a transaction hits your website or your web application, it goes through the business tier, it goes into the database, and it gives a response to the end user. And you want to know, why took it so long? Why wasn't it responding the way you were expecting that? So that's where application performance monitoring comes in. With APM, and it's not something that you just do by doing a web call. You need to have an agent on all the instances that are running that .NET application, on the SQL server, on the business tier, and on the web server. And you need to have a monitor to look at the web application from another perspective, not on the local server. That's nice, looking from a local server to a local application, but you want to know how does it respond from another perspective. So that's something you want to put in place. And that's where APM is going to help you with that. So if you have an application that's hosted somewhere else, you can test the website for availability. So that's nice. But when it's an on-prem application or you have an Operation Manager agent on your box in infrastructure as a service on Azure, then you can actually see how long the transactions will take and which DLL is called. And when it fails, you can see what has failed and how long it took. So that's really powerful for the people to fix the problem in the .NET application. So I want to tell a little bit about Global Service Monitor. How many of you people have actually seen or used Global Service Monitor at this point? Okay, not a lot. Global Service Monitoring is the ability of Operation Manager to connect to the Microsoft Azure infrastructure and make a web call from the Azure nodes to your website. So where we were talking about an internal infrastructure running Operation Manager monitoring a web application, you're looking from a domain controller and a web server in the same rack how your web application is performing. Now, when that's not performing well, yeah, that's a big problem. Then you really have a problem. But when your application is running fine, you don't know how end users are experiencing that. So that's where Global Service Monitoring can help you. You're just making a connection to the Azure Cloud with a subscription, and you don't need a license for that if you are an SA customer. So then it's free of charge. And you can just run web tests on your web server from the different locations. And it will give you a health state, and it will give you a health state and from the different nodes and the speed of response of the different nodes from all over the world. I think there are 17 or 18 nodes that you can use, and you can just select. So if you're running your business in North America, you just use the North America ones. But if you're running it all over the world, you can use every one of the 16 instances. So if you want to know more, and all slide decks will be available via channel 9, I guess, the resources will be available there. Have a look. You can have a 90-day free trial just for testing Global Service Monitor to see what it can add to your Operation Manager infrastructure. And there are a few blogs under there on how to implement and what you need to be aware of to actually make it happen in your infrastructure. Okay, now we're going into Operation Manager. Here we go. Is everybody familiar with this console? Most of you have actually seen it. A lot of nodding heads. Okay. So first, I want to start out with the Windows computer state. This is the, I think, the coolest thing you can see within Operation Manager, because you have a single insight on how the actual health state of your infrastructure is. And it's all component-based. There's no relations here. It's just component-based. You can see that you have a Windows server. There's an agent installed, and it's healthy. You have an IIS 8 role or a Server 2012 operating system with a Server 2012 SQL database running on top of it. So you know right away which server is running what. So if you're looking for something, you can just have a quick overview here. On the left-hand side, you have an alert view. So if something happens, an alert will come in, and that alert will be visible here with a lot of knowledge, and that will help you fix your problems when something happens in your infrastructure. But what I want to do here, I want to monitor a line of business application. So I have a line of business application here installed. It's a 3-tier application. It runs a database, a middle tier. It's a .NET application, and it's a social media app. I'm going to log in there just to see that it is an actual application. My name. And here we go. Okay, it's waiting. So this is my overview. I'm in the application now, and I'm searching for new friends. As you can see, I don't have a lot of friends in this application, but it's a new application. It will be the next Facebook, I guess. So I will be selecting, oh, it's a nice picture of an elephant, so I would like to become friends with this person. Okay, friend request is sent, and now let me just wait. I will do a new post. Hello. Gerrit. And I will select post it, and oops, something went wrong. Okay, my application is not completely done yet, but this is the part I want to monitor. So I'm signing out, and I will just have to wait to get an email to see all my new friends here. But I want to monitor this application because I'm thinking I'm going to make huge money, so $10,000 an hour will be something that's real. And when it's down, I want to have an email because I'm losing money then. So I want to have line of business application monitor. I want to know what's going on here. So I'm going into the authoring console, and there are a lot of wizards available. And every time new functionality is added into Operation Manager, there will be, most of the time, there will be a wizard or a management pack available that will help you to make an easy monitoring setup. I want to make a web application transaction. Add monitoring wizard. Here it goes, web application transaction monitor. And I call it Talking Heads Ticket. And I want to create a new management pack. A management pack is an XML-based structure which will contain the configuration for this specific application. So I'm going to put that in there so that when it's not good, I can just take it out and all the monitoring I just created is gone. Or I can use it to replicate it to one of the other System Center products. Okay, I have to select the box. Hello. I want to have a new management pack. Yeah, oh, sorry. Here it is. Create. I have no description there. We have to wait for a few seconds. It will now write the XML into the management pack library, and it will be available there. So here we go. And I want to monitor this website. Just copy and paste, nothing fancy, and I will do a test. So Operation Manager agent on the local machine that I'm configuring this, so if it's your local workstation, it will try it from your local workstation, but we'll test if the application is available and what kind of detail he can find at that point. So he's now visiting the website, and we have to wait a few seconds to see what if the website is of okay, if he can reach it, or if it's available. There it is. HTTP response is 200. You can see the DNS resolution times. And if you want to have more details, you can just dive in here to see what kind of information is available when it does a web test. Going to next. And here's the watcher node. And I'm going to set the time to 1 minute. And that's not really realistic, of course, in a production environment, because why do you want to test something every minute? Then you need to scale out your front web tier just for the monitoring, because you're hitting it every single minute. But for the demo, that's okay. So it will respond a bit faster. And I can select a watcher node. And a watcher node is the perspective from which you are looking at the web application. Like I just mentioned, if you have a server rack and you have a domain controller, the web server, and the ops manager server right next to each other, you have a switch and they're all plugged in right beside each other, so it should be fast. But you want to see it from maybe another sub or another hub. So you're installing an agent over there, maybe on a local client, and you select that one to see what the actual performance from a remote location is. So I'm selecting the ops manager server in this case. I click next. And I've just created the monitoring for the web application. So if you remember the slide with the end user experience monitoring, that's something we did now. Just in a few clicks, we know the website, we've built end user experience monitoring for a single website. Okay, next I want to show you how to create the line of business application monitoring to make the relations available between the databases, the end user experience monitoring. And I have to go back in here. I will show you that later. There we go. So here are all the distributed applications I have in my environment now. And I'm going to add another one. So here we go, create distributed application monitoring. Talking Heads application. There are a few templates available, and I'll be using a blank one because I want a specific set of components. But when you have a default .NET application, you can just use the 3-tier .NET application to get started with, to see what kind of information you're getting from this monitoring. Yes, here it is. So here I have the distributed application designer, and I'm going to add a component group. And a component group in this case is the server on which the application is running. I'm going to select an object, logical configuration item, and I'm going to dive in. And it's an operating system and a Windows Server operating system. So I'm selecting Windows Server operating system. Here we go. And as you can see here, I have the group I can put the servers in, and on the left, I have all the servers available in my monitoring to use in this application. I will do the same for databases, logical item, application component. And I will have databases here. So it's a SQL database, so I have to select SQL databases. Add another component. End user experience. It's something I want to monitor, so let me go into here. And it's called perspective. There we go. And all the monitoring perspectives are available here. And last but not least, I want to have the IIS available. I want to see the website. Dive in here, logical entity. Application component and websites. So I've created all these groups, and now I want to give in all the relationships that are available there. So first, let me put the objects in the groups. At the databases, I know it's called social applications, so I'm diving in here. Let me filter on server name because they're all on the same server in my case. And here's the Talking Heads application. So I will put that in the databases. I can't put it in the web. I can't put it in the server group. I need to put it in the database group. That's why I created the component groups. The perspective. It's a Talking Heads. Here we go. End user experience monitoring. I'm going into the web. I need the web server of the portal server. And in this case, it's called social. I know the application, so that's something you need to know when building this kind of stuff. And it's the portal server. So now, put in some relationships. The end user experience looks at the web server. The web server calls the database, and the database is running on the server. Okay, the web server is running on the server as well. So what I've done now is created the line of business application monitoring. So it's as simple as that. You know your application, you're already monitoring your components, just put them together in this view, and you have line of business application monitoring. It's that simple. Okay, it's all saved. Okay. So when it actually has been saved, it's really nice to see that you can't only use it in this view, but you can save it to, for instance, Visio. And there is an operation manager connector for Visio available. So if you have saved it to your local desktop and you have a connection to the operation manager database configured in Visio, you will have a live dashboard of this application. And there it is. And hopefully, view, diagram view, and here's the application. Okay, so it's not completely aggregated yet, but it's already seeing its components there. So this will take about a few minutes. So here I have a button on the top. This button to save a Visio. So TH, I will publish it to the dashboard and click save. You can also save it as an image. So if you want to use it in a report or something else or in a SharePoint site to know what the application looks like, you can save it here. So that's pretty neat, I think. Okay. I want to show you that you actually can open it in Visio. We'll copy it here. Open up. It's a bit small. Here it is. So when you have this connection configured here, you will see the actual health state in the Visio. So you can show that, you can publish it to a SharePoint site, and you have the continuous connection there. So you will always have a dashboard of your infrastructure without giving everybody a full console. So that's pretty cool. Okay. Let's get back to some slides. So now we've built line of business application monitoring for Operation Manager. We want to have a look at Service Manager. And how many people of you are using Service Manager at this point in their infrastructure? Oh, quite some. Okay, nice. So Service Manager is a process platform where you can manage your incident, your problem, your change, your release management, and your configuration management. And the last one, that's the thing we really love in Service Manager, because it's got a dynamic CMDB. Now, how many of you we're not using Service Manager, have a CMDB that's 100% accurate at this point? Okay, not a lot of hands. And that's understandable. And even the Service Manager database is not always 100% up to date, because a connector sync, getting the information from other products, there's always an interval of an hour or a few hours. So you're not always 100% up to date. But it's dynamic. You have all kinds of connectors in your infrastructure using other system center tools like Configuration Manager, like Operation Manager. You're getting information from Active Directory, and it will start combining that information together in that one database. So all your CI information is in there. So what connectors do we have in the environment? We have the AD connector. I just mentioned all of them. You can publish reports to SharePoint, like I've shown with Operation Manager. You can do the same thing with Service Manager. And there is an Exchange connector available for sending emails. So if you have a new incident registered on your name, and what you have to fix, you will get an email. And within that email, there's a link to the specific incident that's assigned to you. And yeah, you can just go into the console and get the incident and fix it. And the one of the last ones is Orchestrator. You can synchronize runbooks that are used in Orchestrator and put them as tasks in Service Manager. So you can fulfill this task from the Service Management console, and you don't have to get into the technology of Orchestrator. That makes it a lot easier. So let me show you how to create an automated incident assignment within Service Manager using the Operation Manager incidents that are coming in there. Going into the display. So here we have Service Manager, and here are the connectors I was telling you about. So I have a connector to Active Directory, Ops Manager, a CI connector, so all the configuration information that's there, and I have an alerts connector. And the alerts connector will get the information, the alerts that coming into Operation Manager for monitoring will get it registered as an incident within Service Manager. Now let me show you the configuration item space. So this is where the CMDB resides within Service Manager. And as you can see, we have all kinds of computer objects. They're from Active Directory. They're from Operation Manager. And you also have business services. And the cool thing about business services is we just created the business service. And when we export the XML I just created, we can import it in here as well. So let me quickly import that management pack. And what will happen I've now I've now copied over the XML, and it's importing in the CMDB, so I have a new business service in there. So when a new alert comes in, it will be related to that business service. So that's I got a really good overview of what happens in my line of business application, and I've got a central point where I'm collecting all that information. And one of the components changed in Operation Manager, like a SQL database has changed, or it's running on a different server, that data is synchronized over the connector as well. So you don't have to need to keep the relationships up to date. It's been done dynamically. That will save you really a lot of work. So let me get back into configuration item space. And here we are. The THTacket application is there. I prepared this other application I will show you. You can see this application is in service. It's running. And it's available. You can see who the service owner is. And you can see who your service contacts are. So they are all registered in Service Manager. And you can see what your related items are. So in this case, it's just one incident. But if there are multiple incidents or multiple changes, you can actually see the relationship here. So you know what's going on within that business application. And when you want to see the service components, you just dive in here. And I think it's picking up information. And there it is. Normally there will be the database there, but I didn't do an actual sync there. But okay. So now I want to go into the work items. And here I have all incidents that are currently in my infrastructure. And these incidents are all coming out of Operation Manager. I don't do manual incident registration. This is what Operation Manager provides for my incident process. And I want to assign them directly to Teams. So I'm going into the connector. I'm going into the alert connector. And it's really simple to handle, because I know I have a SQL team, and I want every SQL incident that's generated in Ops Manager to go to that team. So I go into the alert routing rules, and I click add. I give it a rule name, I call it SQL. I select a template, and I've created an incident template where the SQL team is mentioned in. I click all rules within the management pack name that contains SQL, and I click OK. The next incident that will come into Service Manager from Ops Manager that's generated by the SQL management pack will be automatically assigned to the group SQL team. So no strange magic there, but it's really easy, and you just missed the first step in incident registration. So the first tier is, doesn't have to look at those incidents anymore. Okay. And due to the time, I will skip this part mostly. This is a slide made by Travis of the Service Manager team, and he has created a really cool vision on how the Service Manager data warehouse works and where you will get the analysis and can use the cubes to get dashboards and get enough information to actually run your operations. But this is a slide you can talk about for an hour or something like that. So it's online, available online, and have a look there. And it's completely explained there how this works and how the database is actually getting in the data warehouse and how you can use that information. So what do you want to do eventually? You want to create some dashboards on which you know what's happening in your environment. So this one is on published on SharePoint, and it's live data. Because you've created it in Excel, and you published up to SharePoint, and SharePoint knows the connection through the data warehouse, and this will all be live information. Now, same here. Sometimes you just want to play around with the data to see if you can get another insight of what's happening in your organization. You're using Microsoft Power Pivot to see what's going on with which service and which instance. So one thing we tell our customers, try to make one simple report. Create the magic tree of operations. When you start with this, you will see that the number of incidents will gradually come down, and you will have a lot of more of control of the things that are happening in your line of business application and in your data center and in your infrastructure. So make a report where you have the top three critical alerts, top three warnings, and the top three servers with the most errors. These three things should be the things that you are willing to invest a lot of time in, because when you fix that, 60% of all your problems will be gone. Most of the times, it's even more than 60%. If you do this for 3 or 4 months, you will have a nice and quiet environment, and you will not have much of a problem anymore. The alerts that will come will be getting in, and there will always be getting some alerts into Ops Manager, but there will be actual problems. And when you fix this, this is a lot of the time, this is the noise that's running your environment. This is the stuff you need to know and need to be aware of. So this is really powerful. Take a single operation, take a single report, and make sure you have this information. Now I want to show you how to analyze the Operation Manager data in Excel. And I want to show you that's not really complex to do. So I started up Excel, and I opened Power Pivot. And in Power Pivot, I'm just going to create a data source, and it's SQL. It's the Ops Manager server, and I created an account on it. And there it is, Operation Manager. I click Next, and I want to create my own query. I just created a query to get some information from that database. Here it is, and I've already... It's not a real complex one. I just want to have all the alerts from the alert view from the last few months. So I validate it so I know it's an actual correct statement. Here it is. Okay. So all 1,300 rows are imported. And this is the information I have now. So that's way too much information to actually say something sensible about and know something that I have to... I don't know what to do with this, so that's strange. So I want to make a pivot chart on a new worksheet to see what is actually going on. Let's get it up. And here's the information, all the fields I have from this query. And I want to use object path and object path full name. There we go. And I use it in access. And right away, I can see there's one alert that's happening a lot. And that's just on the portal.cloud.lan server. So that's nice. I know one of my top one servers with a lot of problems is that server. But I want to know more. I want to know which specific object within that server is a problem. So I select the name object, and here it is. And I see that it's not, it's actually just one. And it's the Microsoft Windows IIS 2008 website monitor check. So when I fixed this problem a few times, so I know it's the www servers that's running on that single server. So the one thing I want to do now is, because every morning I have to start that service again because it's broken, I want to make a runbook to fix the problem for me, because I know what my top one problem is. And I want to do that with Orchestrator. So let me get... Let me get in System Center Orchestrator. How many people of you are actually using Orchestrator at this moment? Okay, that's not a lot. Orchestrator is a really, really, really powerful tool. Anything is possible. And I believe there's another session by Pete and Anders on Orchestrator and how to get starting with that. And that's a really good session. I can recommend that. That's really good. You should have a look at that session. And where do you want to use Orchestrator? You want it to use for proactive management. You want to get that SLA level up and running. And you want to make sure that when things happen in your environment, you're not going to wait for an all day or for a few hours to fix it. Just let Orchestrator fix it, do an analysis, and actually have a look after that what the problem is, what the problem was, and how it's fixed. So what does a normal runbook look like? It's got activities, and it's just like a Visio icon with a task behind it. You just make a connection to a specific other System Center product, and you have an activity that will perform a task on that platform. So when you combine a lot of these activities, it's called a runbook. And that runbook needs a database. So when you connect the activities all together, it will be a runbook. And over the lines will be all the information flowing. So when you do a get object in Service Manager, you will get all that information into Orchestrator. That information will be passed on along the line, and in every task, that information is available for you to perform task or to run a script with that variable in there. So, and I will show you in a few seconds how that's done. And last but not least, there are a lot of standard activities. For all the System Center products, there are integration packs. That's what they're called. And when you import an integration pack, you can use it. You have to make a connection to the backend infrastructure, like Virtual Machine Manager for server deployment, or Ops Manager to get alerts. So, and it's a big connector framework as well. So Orchestrator has connections to all kind of third-party products. You can have an HP service center infrastructure. You can have BMC. You can have CA. There are almost always integration packs available. Have a look at the Microsoft site and on CodePlex. There are a lot of free integration packs there as well. So that's really, really powerful. You can hook them all up and get all that information on a central place to fulfill these tasks. And now I want to create a runbook for that single problem that we are experiencing at this moment. Okay, here we have Orchestrator. On the right-hand side, you see an integration pack for Operation Manager. And you can see there are a few tasks: get alert, get monitor, monitor state, start or stop maintenance mode. So if you already have Service Manager in your environment, you can create a self-service request for maintenance mode, for instance. So you don't have IT admins going into the environment putting something in maintenance mode. You can just let an application owner fill that in Service Manager, have a service request, and make it automatically go to maintenance mode. But that's not what I want to do now. I want to make a runbook to fix the runbook. And I'm going to schedule, monitor date and time, and I will let this run. every 15 seconds. So with this task, I'm forcing this runbook to run every 15 seconds. Nope. Okay, wrong button. Next, I want to get an alert. I want to, from Operation Manager, because that's where the alert comes in. That's actually the wrong one. Nice. Get alert. And I want to connect this to the current Operation Manager infrastructure. So if you have multiple Operation Manager configurations running in your environment, you can all hook them up here and just can select the one you want to use in this case. I'm just having one, so that's okay. And I want to have a filter. I don't want every alert coming in to be processed down the line. You don't have to restart a web service when a disk is full on a management server. So I want to create a filter there. And the first thing I want to do is a name that contains, and I've written it down, IIS7 website is unavailable. That's the alert that we'll be getting in when this happens. I want to have the severity needs to be a critical one. And I want the resolution state. And this will take a few seconds. It's now using the Operation Manager connector available in Orchestrator to connect Ops Manager, read all the available resolution states, and publish it back up. So the first time it will take a few seconds, like it is now. And the next time I will use it, it will be up in a flash. So it's just caching that it needs to be done. So I want only the new ones that will be processed. Okay. And I think that's it. Okay, critical new II7. And I click on finish. So when I'm working on this, when the runbook is starting, I want to know the operations guys, the operation manager users, I want them to know that somebody is working on this piece. So I do an update alert, because I don't want them to start troubleshooting a problem that will be fixed by a runbook. So I'm using the same connector. I said OK. And I will use some published data, because this task needs to know which ID the incident has in Operation Manager. So I select publish. And you can see I can select all the available tasks within this runbook. So I will go to get alert. And I will select the ID of the previous setting. And I want to update the resolution state. And I want to update the resolution state to scheduled, because, and here we go. So when the event comes in, it will be picked up by Orchestrator by that filter we just created, and now the alert will be updated inside Operation Manager to scheduled. So everybody knows, hey, there's been some work done there. Now, next I want to do is just restart that service. So I will go into a run program. I will connect this up. And the computer name. So I know the computer name, that's the portal.cloud.lan, but I want to make it dynamic. So I will use the published data from the alert in this case. Published data, I have the update alert and the get alert. So I will go to the get alert. And I want to use the NetBIOS computer name, because that's what it will use to kick off this stuff. So the program path will be just this. First I have to do copy, of course, otherwise it will not. There we go. Oh, and now it's copying in. Yeah, right. Here we go. I'm going to use that command, and it needs to just start when I'm correct. SVC, yeah, so. This will be my working folder. Okay. So when the filter works and it has updated the incident, it will run this task on the computer with that specific fully qualified domain name, the net buyer's name. So when it's done, I want to update the alert again. Or I want to close the alert when it's fixed. But it can also happen that it's not fixed. So let's make this connection. I'm going into Operation Manager again, select OK, select the field, select the resolution state. And the resolution state in this case needs to be closed. And that's only on success. So what I just did is I double-clicked the connector, and when this run program is successfully, the connector will pass through this task because it's success. But it can happen that it wasn't successful. So let's get into the other one. And it's not success, it's failure. So what I will be doing here, I will give it another color so I know that when something's wrong, it will use the red line. And what will happen when it updates the alert? I will have to first make my Operation Manager connection again. And I want this published ID to be used. I'm going into the service bus again. And it's the same ID over and over again, so I'm using the same alert. I do a select field, resolution state. And it failed, so I want to escalate it to the second tier engineer. So the first task is already done, and I want to escalate it to the second tier engineer. Okay, here we go. And now we're done. So I'm going to check it in, and I'm going to run this runbook. So as you can see at the bottom, it will be start running. Here it is. We can see it's actually running. And now I'm going to go into the operation managers. And as we know, this is the website. And let me just go into monitoring. Go into portal, and I want to go into computer management. And I'm just going to manually stop the World Wide Web services. Here we go. Let's stop this one. And within a few seconds, as we can see, this site will not be available anymore. So what will happen now? There will be an alert generated in the Operation Manager console. And I will go into Active Alerts. And this will take a few seconds because we have some monitoring time. It will poll the website every one minute. Then we have to synchronize it to Service Manager, the incident. And it will have to be picked up every 15 seconds by Orchestrator. So as you can see, the first alerts are coming in. The second alerts are coming in. So now Orchestrator has the filter, and probably when I'm looking here at the portal server now, within a few seconds, the website will be available again when I've done my job well. Sorry? Yeah, it's happening. It's going to tier 2, so it failed. Yeah. So the demo is actually working, it didn't fix the World Wide Web service. So I probably made a typo. So in this case, yeah, I didn't already see that. Thank you. Thank you for that. So let us get into Orchestrator. What just happened? And I think something went wrong in the... Let me run this runbook. That's actually the same runbook, only not created while doing a demo. And now, as you can see, the new ones are picked up by nice. The demo is not helping me. So what would normally happen, as you can see, it was escalated to tier 2 because the remediation actually failed. And in this case, normally the web service would be started again and all we build, all line of business application will be good again. So, okay, that's not going to work. So sorry for that. Yeah, when that will happen, yes, that's an option, of course. When I started up, because the new incidents aren't new anymore, so the filter value on the orchestrator side, it's looking at all the alerts coming in, and it sees, hey, they're not new anymore, they're tier 2. So it already scaled them up as failed, so it's not going to work. So now it has to fix these ones. Close alert. And as you can see, the website will be running again. Ah, there it is. And when I stop it now, there will be new alerts coming in. Yeah, the first are coming in again. Normally this is always happening over a specific period of time, of course, and not within 2 minutes or something like that. So here we go, refresh. There they are. Now two runbugs are firing. Did you see that? First it was scheduled, and the next step was tier 2. So, yeah. So both runbugs are actually fighting over which two. So you actually need to know. It depends on which runbug was first. So, okay. But as you can see, Orchestrator will kick in. We'll use the filter. We'll set the operational task, and we'll see if it's synchronized to Service Manager, yes or no. Okay, last but not least, make sure you have a process in place to actually do this stuff. So you know what's going on, you know your top incidents, you know your top priorities. Make sure you have some time and you invest time and knowledge to actually build this kind of automation, you know, to help you meet your business SLAs. So these are the goals and objectives we started out with. I hope I filled in on almost all of them. So there are a few other sessions you can visit to know more about building and monitoring private cloud. You can find me at the service provisioning and delivery booth if you have any questions regarding the things I spoke about in my session. So these are some content tracks. They are available on the slides. And please fill out your evals. They're really valuable to us. We know what to do better. And I want to thank you very much for attending this session. Have a good conference.